Amen. I just bow our heads in prayer. Your gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, that you're here, and believing, Father, that any day soon, Lord, we could be all going home in the resurrection, Father, take place one of these mornings, and the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain shall not hinder them, but be gathered together with them, and together we'll go to meet your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in another dimension. And so, Father, we just pray that our hearts would be tilled up and ready for that hour. And, Lord, we just pray that if this not be the spring for it, that it be the next. But, Father, we pray that you would help this message to get out to those people around the world. And let not the people here lose sight of the doctrine, Father, because we know we are still in that time of the great falling away. As Brother Vail said, that there could be, and he said this about 10 years ago, that there could be a 10 to 15, 20-year period of just falling away. And we see it all around us, Father, and yet we see others coming in. It seems, Father, every time a life goes off, there's a new life to come forward. And so we pray, Father, that you would bring forth your light and may it bring forth the life of those people, Lord, those that we see are right now coming to the truth, and even though they've been in the message for 15, 20 years, they're now being able to understand the message for the first time. And we pray, Father, that you would bless them for this, and just use, Lord, all of us in any capacity that you see fit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to try to wrap this thoughts up, because next Sunday Brother Van Klink will be preaching for us, and also Easter Sunday and the communion service that we'll have as well, possibly. So we just want to keep the services coming up in prayer, and if Brother Wass was with us, we'll try to have him preach as well, the brother from Uganda. So we have a lot of things coming up, a lot of people coming in, and not as many as last year, though. But they will be coming in from around the world, and so we're thankful for that. Now, we've been looking at twins, and as I said, Wednesday night, we began our study of twins by a study of election, predestination, foreknowledge, because most people don't understand in the message. They think of foreknowledge, they think of election as foreknowledge only, that God knew your end from the beginning, and therefore he could elect you. He could choose you. But that's not exactly the case, and we read some quotes back then showing you that Brother Branham said that it's not that. It's actually that God knew your end from the beginning because you made your end. You know, he is the beginning and the end. He is the beginner and the ender. Don't ever forget that, that he has you in the palm of his hand. So no matter how bad things seem to be going for you, or how good they're going for you, just know one thing, that God brings a rain on the just and the unjust. And the reason why it falls on the unjust is because they're kind of clinging around the just. That's what Brother Branham said, the rain that God means for the benefit of the just, that's the doctrine, that's the word of God, that's the blessings of God. It falls on both the just and the unjust because they're in the same camp. They're in the same camp, and we've shown here that if you look at the shared attributes of twins, and I gave you all a handout sheet so that you might understand what I've got here is basically you see that they're X'd off. These attributes are shared. And the first we know is that both are given birth in the same revival and the same church. And we began to read the quotations of Brother Branham the other night, and let me just find if I can back up a little bit. And what I'd like to do is kind of cover these quotes, because just to help you understand that both are given birth by the same revival. Brother Brown said every revival produces twins, and let's see here. Okay, both are given birth, spiritually speaking, through the same revival. From the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham said, now we find out that they wanted to start and get into a form of godliness. Now, I could stop right here and say something here, I believe I will. Did you ever notice that every revival, now, minister brethren, you check this, every revival produces twins. from blind Bartimaeus, he said, every revival produces twins. The sons of Jacob or of Isaac is well represented. Every time there's a revival, there's an Esau born and a Jacob born. One man is religious of the world, gets starchy, and takes on some seminary experience, and the other wants the birthright regardless of how he got it. From Mark of the Beast, Brother Ram said, every revival produces twins. Certainly does. There's twins born in the natural man and in the spiritual man. Now, I didn't label the scriptures for these, but there's many scriptures as well. But we can go right to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In reading verses 10 through 14. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And also if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, you read the scripture tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abideth forever. So we have two types of being born again. So we have twins. Because if you have two types of being born again, then you have twins, see? And Brother Branham said, both are born from the same revival, which means the same church. Now, he also said that both are religious. And let me just, if we might... From wisdom versus faith, he said, these two sources have battled since Eden, God's faith against Satan's wisdom. Now, quickly, let me run over this, just a word or two on each one. We'll just take a few things that I've got wrote here. Esau and Jacob was a perfect type, both of them religious, both of them twins. From restoration of the bride tree, Brother Branham said, the caterpillar denomination, the Esau. Now, Esau, as Esau and Jacob, both of them twins, both of them religious. But Esau was a carnal man, he was a good man. He didn't go out and steal and drink or anything. He was a religious man, but he thought, well, as long as I'm religious, what difference does it make? But little old Jacob, he didn't care how that he got the birthright. He just wanted it. No matter how he got it, he just had to have it. If he had to go to the altar and scream and cry and boo-hoo and all that, that's what he wanted. So we see then that both of them were born at the same revival, born of the same word, born of the same word, because let me just say this. The word is like a seed, the scripture tells us. And in that seed, there's life. Now, one swallowed the word without the word breaking open. In other words, without releasing the life. They've taken the same word. We've got people throughout the entire message who, they've taken the fact that God sent a prophet, but they won't go to the core, they won't go to the life that's in that message. So they've got the word there, they've got the tapes, they've got the videos, they've got everything, and it's not doing them any good because Jesus said, my words are spirit in their life, and they won't crack that shell open to find out what's in there. You see? So they're a natural. They've got it in the natural. They've got the shell. See? But the sons of God, he that hungers and thirsts after God shall be filled. So if you're not hungering and thirsting, there's no way you can be filled. You know, a man that doesn't feel like eating, he's not going to eat. So if you feel like eating all the time, spiritually I'm talking about, then you will be filled. See, because you go after the food, the spiritual food in due season. All right, so we've got both are born of the same revival, the same church. Both are religious. Both eat from the same table of the Lord. We find in Jude chapter 1, verse 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and have run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out their shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now,
We also know that Brother Branham said that the crow can eat both dove food and crow bait, but the dove can only eat the dove food. So that the crow can sit right here with the dove, and they can both eat from the same table of the Lord. The difference is that the crow can also eat from the table of the world. See? Brother Branham said it, but if you notice, the old crow can sit over here and on a dead carcass and eat half the day. The dove will sit in a wheat field and eat half the day. And the crow can fly right over there and eat dove food as much as he wants to. He can eat just as much wheat as the crow can, or as the dove can. The crow can eat the dove food, but the dove can't eat crow food. That's right. So an old hypocrite can come to church and rejoice and shout and praise the Lord and go on like that and go right back out and enjoy the things of the world. But a born-again Christian cannot do it because the love of God constrains him so much to a place that he can't do it. So if you're just a Christian by joining the church and quitting doing this and that, and the same desire is in you, you need another dip. That's exactly right. From Hebrews chapter 7, he said, "And you women who can dress with them little old shorts and run out here in the street and then call yourself a believer, well, you're a believer, but you're a poor example of one maybe. If you really had Christ in your heart, you wouldn't have to think about things like so much as that. I don't care what the rest of the women does and the rest of the girls do, you'd be different because you love Christ too much. You know, I talked to a woman the other day in a house, and she threw her hands up like this, and she said, 'Reverend Branham, I'm almost naked here in my house, and I'm walking around,' and I thought, shame on you. In your own house, I don't care where you're at. That's right. Dress and act like a woman, like a lady ought to. Shame on you. And the Bible said if you love those things of the world, the love of Christ is not even in you. And if you love the Lord just with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you'll keep them little old dirty, nasty things off of you." Now, that means, brother, sister, that it doesn't matter if it's in your home. You sisters don't wear shorts. You don't wear pants. And even when Brother Branham, somebody said, "Well, Brother Branham, is it all right for a woman to wear pajamas?" He said, "Well," he said, "look, I'm not going to get into that, but," he said, "I'll just tell you this much." He said, "Wouldn't it look a lot more ladylike if you had on a nightgown?" Now, if you're listening to the tapes, you're going to hear these things Brother Branham says. If you're not listening to the tapes, you're going to wear pants around the house. You're going to wear shorts around the house. You're going to run, like Brother Branham says, this woman runs naked around the house, or half naked, whatever. But your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if it's a temple of the Holy Spirit, it's going to be kept for God. It's not going to be abused. See? And so Brother Branham's letting us know, these things, see, they can eat from both tables. Now, if you can eat from both tables, that's not speaking too well of what's in here. Unless there's something convicting you when you're eating from that other table. And if there is, who's going to want to go up and eat a bunch of slop anyway? I mean, the Bible says, as a dog to its vomit and a hog to its waller. See, the dog, the pig, brother, sister, the nature of a pig is just awful terrible. How many of you ever been on a pig farm? Anybody? You ever watch a pig where the cow goes and takes his manure and the pig stands right behind him and eats it? Fresh right off the stove? I don't mean to be crude, but that's the nature of a pig. Not a son and daughter of God. You can't eat that stuff. You wouldn't have a stomach for it. And the dove doesn't have a stomach for crow food, but the crow has a stomach for any food. See, the crow can eat any food. He's religious. It don't matter if it's Baptist. It don't matter if it's Pentecostal. It don't matter if it's Methodist. Oh, they're talking about God. He can eat it all. But a true, genuine, born of the Holy Spirit of God, Son of God, cannot stomach food from another age. Now, how many of you in the natural would like to get out last week's leftovers that have been sitting out and got all kinds of green stuff on them? Got anybody that could do that? Got wigworms in it? Going to go out and eat it? Well, why do we stomach the old Pentecostal trash that's on the radios? Or the old Baptist trash that's on the radios? That's all it is. It's trash. It's food for another day. It's not fit for consumption. Get out the tapes. Put on the tapes. I give you a living word. Now, both can quote the Scripture, though. Both believe in God. Yeah, both can quote the Scripture. James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well, but the devil also believes and trembles." Brother Brown said, I'll give you one that'll knock your socks off, or he says that'll stumble some of you. But he says, the devil's a believer. Do you know the devil's a believer?
Yeah, it says he bleeds and he trembles. See? From why I'm not a holy roller, Brother Branson, or why I am a holy roller, Brother Branson. Now, this is going to make you tighten up your ecclesiastical vest just a minute, but listen. Notice, God cannot be just. If you say, I'm a believer, so is Cain. Cain was a believer. That's right. He came as a believer. And you say, well, I go to church, I'll go to the altar, so did Cain. Cain built an altar or a church unto the Lord. And you say, well, I'm a member of a church, so is Cain. And Cain made a sacrifice. You say, well, I pay so much every year into my church, so did Cain. I worship the Lord from the bottom of my heart, so did Cain. Cain was a believer, a worshiper, and just as fundamentally right as Abel was. He was a fundamentalist. Cain was a fundamentalist. That's your Baptist. See? I worship the Lord from the bottom of my heart. So did Cain. Cain was a believer, a worshiper, just as fundamental as Abel was. Amen. Oh, I love this. And I pray that God will steam our hearts. Now, why would you steam anything? It's to clean it. See? Really get it heated up to get it cleaned out. Now, don't get excited. I know where I am. Look. But I feel kind of religious right now. Notice, when I see that pro and con, when I see that negative and positive, when I see Cain come up there in the beginning, now we're back in Genesis at the beginning of the tree, there's something that was planted. Cain was strictly a fundamentalist, just as fundamental as Abel was. He loved the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. He built an altar to the Lord. He made a sacrifice to the Lord. He paid his vows to the Lord. Just as religious as any fundamental teacher could teach it today. That's right. But God accepted Abel's offering because Abel, by faith, by revelation, offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain by being just. Now, if we had time, I'd like to take the twist on that. Now, there's the beginning of the two vines. And I want you to watch. One on the right, one on the left. Cain and Abel now. And there's where this thing that we're living in today was planted right there in the Garden of Eden and started from there in Genesis right there. Comes right down to, brother, sister, look. You can be... born again. You can be born again. Absolutely. You can be religious. Absolutely. You can eat from the table of the Lord. Absolutely. You can believe in God. Absolutely. You can quote the Bible. Absolutely. You can make sacrifice to God. You can be sincere in your sacrifice. Absolutely. You can worship God. You can praise God. You can do works to please God. And you can bear fruit. And that only means that you've come up to serpent seed. You cannot tell by these what the person is. It's when we get into these specific, because these are the attributes of the mother. Born of the same revival, that's the mother giving birth. That's Eve, religious, believe in God, quote the Bible, sacrifice to God. But now, this tells if their father was the serpent or if their father was God. You see. Now, both offer sacrifice to God and worship and praise God. Matthew 5, verse 45 says, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth forth the rain on the just and the unjust. From the Lamb and the Dove, Brother Brown said, I wondered about that one time. I saw a vision, and it made manifest how that man went forth sowing seed, wheat, and when he slept, an enemy came forth and sowed tares, which is scriptural. And when the wheat came up and got ripe, the weeds was up also, the tares. And when there come a drought, and when the drought come, everybody was praying for rain. And a great cloud come and rained down, and the little wheat had his head down like this, and it brought its little head up again and began to say, oh, glory to God, praise be to the Lord for sending the rain. And the little weed, the tare, jumped up just as the same as the wheat did and said, glory to God, hallelujah, for sending the rain. And I said, now I don't know what to think. And then I see them again, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain was sent for the wheat, but the tares begin in there, got the benefit of it, the same rain. But by their fruit you shall know them, Jesus said. From Joseph the Father said, now, back to Cain and Abel. When Cain worshipped, he built an altar, he sacrificed, he worshipped God, but that wasn't enough, and it was beautiful, no doubt, the flowers and things that grows in the field, and he decorated his altar. From who do you say this is, Brother Brown said, now, when he seen that he couldn't curse you, see, so what's he going to do? He's going to organize you. Oh, we're all one anyhow. We all believe in the same God. So that's just what Balaam did. And didn't Jude warn us of this? They erred in the way of the doctrine of Balaam and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Doesn't Jude, the foster brother of Jesus, warn us of this in the Bible? That they like that they're like Cain from the beginning, the hireling, the one that went to church and built churches and built an altar and sacrificed. They err in the way of Cain. They run in the way of Balaam and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. Jude lays the whole thing out just like we're doing it this morning before you. Like we've been doing it. The whole thing lays there. So, both do works. Remember Matthew 7:16. Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Cast out devils and done many wonderful works. And he said, depart from me. I never knew you. And yet they did. He didn't deny. Brother Brown said that he didn't deny that they did the works. He just said, I never knew you. See? You didn't come out of my lineage. From Ephesians parallels Joshua, he said, but there's one thing that they can do. They're good workers. Oh, they just work, 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 work. That puts me in the mind of a bunch of these Arminians that's always trying to work their way into heaven. A mule, he said, the Ladies' Aid Society and the Chicken Supper they paid the preacher and we got to have this dance and this social and it's just work, 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 work. And what are they working for? Ask them. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They stick up their ears and they don't know what they belong or where they belong. What do you mean? What about this? What do you mean the Holy Ghost? I've never heard nothing about it. Oh, you must be some kind of fanatic. See, they don't know who Papa was or Mama was either, and you have to beat them on everything to do. Beat here and beat there and beat here and there, and that's right, the old mule. So Brother Brown said, look, they can outwork Esau outworked Jacob. He outshined Jacob when it came to works, but he didn't have a revelation. See? From the Ephesian church age, Brother Brown said, if God had that against his church, he's got it against that one too, because you left your first love. Now I've got it against you. I have something against you. That's my complaint. You once had a great time, but you let the world begin to creep in, and you got a little, acting a little formal, and you're still holding my name, and you're still doing the things that's right, and you got a lot of patience and so forth, and you labor, and you're like a mule. You just work and labor, and see? And you've left faith and grace and power to swap it for labor and works. Now, so far we've seen many characteristics that they both share. And after all, they have the same mother. They have the same church. They share the same birth at the same revival. Therefore, it's only expected that both will be religious. So if you're expecting your religion to save you, you'll be in for a rude awakening. Both believe in God, both worship God, both make sacrifice to God, both talk the Word of God, and both attend church and pay their tithes. So what separates them? Well, we find out what separates them is one thing, and that's the Word. That's the Word. Jesus said, by their fruits you'll know them. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. From the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, notice. But it's what they produce that tells you the difference. By their fruits, Jesus said, you shall know them. Man does not gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. And what is the fruit? The word, the fruit for the season. That's what it is. They're teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time it is. Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, but God's word for the season. In other words, what do they say the message is? That's the fruit. What do they say the message is? That'll tell you what seed they are. See? also we'll find that any plant, Jesus said, that my Father did not plant, that's going to be rooted up. See? So it didn't have its source in God, it'll be rooted up. Jesus said they have no place for the Word. Now, Let's go to your second page on your diagrams here, and you'll see the attributes of serpent seed, attributes of the God seed. The attributes of God seed are all who are ordained to life, they believe God's word. So if we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and there's no way we'll be able to get through all these scriptures today, but this will be a good resource for you, good study. Acts 13, verse 48.
And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life did one thing. They believed. We find also in 1 John chapter 2, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 15. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but, notice, have eternal life. So, now, opposed to that, let's go to John chapter 8, verse 37. Jesus said, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. So, the word has a place in God's seed. It doesn't have a place in serpent's seed. There's no place in them for the word. We find in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 5 to 6, they are the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, but he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Thereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, those who are of God are going to hear God's word. And they're going to find whatever source that's giving God's word, they're going to hear it. Those that are not of God will not hear God's word. That comes right down to it. Why? Because they don't understand it. They don't understand it, and they have no place in the word for it. In John, 1 John 2 and verse 20, as far as the believer goes, he says, for you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And you know all things. See? So, they believe it because they understand it. Now, how can you believe anything that you don't understand? Your people keep passing this quote off, and they say, well, Brother Branham said, you don't have to understand it. You just have to believe it. Then Brother Branham turns around and says, only the elect will understand it. So let me ask you something, brother, sister. If the devil's a believer, if Cain's a believer, and he says, well, I believe God, I believe his word, but he don't understand it, what's he believing? What is he believing? Cain worshipped God. Do you believe that? Cain made a sacrifice to God. Do you believe that? Cain understood that there's one God. You understand that? The devil understands that there's one God. Yet the devil doesn't receive God. He understands there's one God, but he doesn't receive God as healer, as savior, as redeemer. He doesn't think he needs healing. Doesn't think he needs saving. Doesn't think he needs redemption. And of course, he doesn't, because he can't be redeemed. That's why he doesn't think that way. Let's face it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if the man has no place for redemption, it's because he can't be redeemed. Where there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. You see? There's a redeemer out there because there's people to be redeemed. You see? Okay, now, notice attributes of God, second row. These love the true word of God, the revealed and vindicated word for their age. We find in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, speaking the truth in love. Let me see here. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We find also the scripture says that they love his appearing, which is the word of God coming down in this hour and making himself real to the people. We find in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing that ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So, these love the true word of God. They love the revealed and vindicated word for their age. Now, we could give you many stories of people who gave their life for this, but we don't have time to do that in the study. Now, but the attributes of serpent seed is they do not love the truth or the true word, but they hold to the word for another age. We find in 2 Thessalonians, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 10 through 12, it says, and with all deceivableness of unright wiseness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, the lie, that they might be damned who believe. Is that the believer, the elect of God, the seed of God, come to the light, the revealed word, and they do not walk in darkness. Now we have got Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Psalm 56 verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Notice David pleading with God to be able to walk in the light. And we find in 89 verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. John chapter 3 and verse 21 is by far the best scripture, because he says that those that have their source in God, he says, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And also 1 John 1 verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. Also in John chapter 12 and verse 46, we read, I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Because remember, we're children of the light. We're not children of the darkness. So, therefore, we've got to come to the light. But the serpent seed, these do not come to the light, and they try to keep others from it. We find John 3, verse 19 to 20. Again, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, that word condemnation means a separating line. So what separates the elect from the non-elect? The light. This is the condemnation. This is the separation. This is the separating line. That light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. And who is the light? Jesus is the light of the world. So they hate Jesus. Neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. That's like the woman that fornicates and commits adultery against her husband and says, oh, well, I love you, honey. I don't know why I'm doing this. It's like the woman, the teacher up there in Mason. You know, she committed a adultery with a 14-year-old boy. When they want to kick her out of, you know, being a teacher, she says, I don't know why I did it. Well, one thing for sure, she didn't love her husband. She didn't love her kids. That's why. Number two, she got a devil. But they don't believe in those things. That's why they've got them. See? That's the woman that says that she has no husband, but, you know, she has a husband, but she goes around saying she doesn't have one so she can run around. Find also John 12, verse 35. Where Jesus just called them a bunch of liars. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk ye while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So, these people then that gravitate away from God, they don't know God. They don't know the light. That's why they walk in darkness. See? Because if they knew God, if they knew the light, there's no way that they would run out from him. In verse 48, he that receiveth me and receiveth not my words... he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And who came down as a judge? The word of God. And who is the Word of God? God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. See? Now, we find also in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 to 6. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice the twins there. One walks in darkness, one walks in the light. You see? One's a liar, one's of the truth. See? Isaiah chapter 50. And verse 11. Behold, all ye that kindle fires, kindle a fire that compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, God says, look, you've got your own light, your little flashlights. Batteries run out, you know. But the light of the sun doesn't. So if we're children of the day, we'll walk in the light of the sun. But if we're children of the night, we'll have our little flashlights or whatever little man-made light we can come up with that we think that we see, but we don't. You try walking around a big, dark area with just a little flashlight. You can't see what's behind. You start seeing things in the shadows and everything else. Your mind starts wandering. You start thinking you're seeing all kinds of things. It's not so during the daytime. It's just as plain as everything's exposed in the light of God. See, you go in the dark and you got your little flashlight and you flash it over here and you maybe hear something over here and you see a shadow and, you know, there's all kinds of things. All kinds of imagination takes place, see, when you're walking in the dark. But when you walk in the light, everything's plain. See? Okay. Now, so we see then that the children of God come to the light, children of the devil depart from the light, don't want the light, want nothing to do with the light. Okay. The next attribute, only God's sons can understand the Word. We find in John chapter 8, very strong evidence. John chapter 8, verse 31, 42 and 47. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Now let's go up to verse 42. Then Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me, in verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words, you therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Now, so we see then that if you're of God, you're going to hear God's words, you're going to come to the light, you're going to understand. Okay, now, but we find in, also we have many, many other scriptures. We go to Matthew chapter 13. And let's just read it. Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. We don't have time to read the entire parable, but verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. All right. We find also Isaiah 50. We won't go to that. We'll go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 11. Jesus says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, on the outside, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Go back to Matthew, and we see on the other hand, he says, for whosoever hath to him will be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not from him shall be taken even that which he thinks that he has. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. So these people, there's no way that they can learn. Jesus said the reason why they can't learn is there's no place in their heart for the Word. So if there's no place in your heart for the Word, and what's the heart? Every time the word heart is used, it speaks of what? Understanding. So there's no place in their understanding for the Word. There's no place for the Word. If there's no place in their understanding for the Word, the correct Word, then how are they going to understand it? It just makes sense. You see? Now, so, then we have God's sons can't understand the Word,
And serpent seed cannot understand the Word of God. And we have many scriptures to go into this. Now, God's sons are gathered by the revealed Word of God. We find Ephesians 1 and 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. And who is He? He's the Word. See? We find Mark 13 and verse 27. And then shall He send His angels, and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. So we see there's a great gathering take place. Luke chapter 3 and verse 17. Whose fan is in His hand, notice, and He will thoroughly purge His floor, and will gather His wheat into His garner, but the chaff will burn with unquenchable fire. So who's doing the gathering then? God is doing the gathering. God came down to gather. See? Now, then, what gathers the others? Organization. We went into that when we preached on the message seed, and we read a quote this morning where Brother Branham said that it's organization that gathers them, that ties them together. Like Balaam. See, he said they go in the air of Balaam, which is organization. All right, now. The next attribute, they receive the mark of God, the seal of God, in their foreheads and in their hands. We find John chapter 6 and verse 27, Jesus was the first. Chapter 6, verse 27. Wait a minute. Let's see. John chapter 6. Labor not for meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Now, we could say this. You could look at that verse two different ways. You could say that God the Father sealed the Son, or you could say the one in whom the Son of Man reveals the Word to hath the Father sealed. Because you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, Paul speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which makes way for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, which is the seal of God coming down. The baptism of the seal, and then the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is only for those who have been sealed. We read the quote before where Brother Branham says that that he's here now in a different dimension, he says, if we could see vision, we'd see him, but he said, but there's something in you called the new birth. He said they can tell that he's here. See? Okay. Now, we have also many scriptures in 2 Timothy, Ezekiel, Ephesians. Ezekiel talks about the seal of God being placed in the minds and hearts of those people who sighed and cried for the abomination which is done in the city. God sent His angel to seal them in. Revelation 15:2, Revelation 9:4, and 2 Timothy 4:8, they all speak of the seal of God being in the forehead, in the hand. And then 2 Timothy 4:8 speaks of the crown of righteousness. That's the seal of God. See, we're crowned with the doxa, with the glory. That's what seals us in. Now, we find the mark of the beast, however. Notice, it didn't say the mark of Satan. Said the mark of the beast. Who is the beast? The serpent. Now, why does it say the mark of the beast and not the mark of Satan? Why is there twins? One's earthy, natural, like brute beasts. The other is born, what? Again, of what? The Spirit of God. See? You have to be born twice. The first birth in the natural, that just gives you that beastly nature because of the mix, the hybrid. It's that second birth to the Word of God, the incorruptible Word of God,
That brings on the correct spirit that you were meant to have to begin with, which is God's spirit. All sons and daughters of God were meant to have God's spirit, not this one that was allowed by God. That's why, on the other side, you're not going to have a problem, because that one that was allowed by God won't be there. You'll have God's spirit and Jesus without measure. Now think about that. You had to be born again. So, the mark of the beast then is the mark that you're serpent seed. And what is that? It's in the forehead, it's in the thinking, it's in the hand, it's in the actions. Your actions speak louder than words, and you're out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, and it proves if you're serpent seed or not, because your thoughts are serpent seed. They gravitate toward the world, the things of the world. See? Sons of God are led by what? The media? The politicians? The kids in school? No. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. See? Okay, we'll go to the next one. They have eternal life. Now this is very... I mean, there's many scriptures there, but we know that Jesus said that, you know, they that hear my voice, I'll come and sup with him, and they with me, and I'll give them eternal life. We have many scriptures that speak of the elect having eternal life. Of course, if you're God's seed, you're going to have God life in you. But notice, the serpent seed has only a temporary life, a temporal life. They're sensual, earthy. We find in Isaiah 40, verse 7 to 8, let's just turn to it. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of God, the Word of our God, shall stand forever. Now, if you have the Word gene seed in you, you've got eternal life in you. If you don't, you're like grass, you're going to wither, fade away. There's many scriptures that deal with this subject on that. We don't have time to go into it. I think we only have maybe 15 minutes left. Now, if you're seed of God, you'll do nothing but what the Father shows you first. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Because you are sons, God hath placed within you the Spirit of His Son, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You'll have the same nature that Jesus had, and he said the Son can of himself do nothing but what he sees the Father do, that the Son doeth likewise. Brother Branham said that the bride will have, thus saith the Lord, or she keep still. In other words, she'll have what the Lord has already spoken. She's not going to have thoughts of her own. She's not going to have ideas of her own. She's not going to run in a race without him telling her to run. Notice the but it's not so with the serpent seed. It says they have a zeal but without knowledge. We find in Philippians chapter 3 verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. They've got a zeal, but it's without knowledge. We find Matthew chapter 7. They say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do this in your name? This and this, this. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many, many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Romans chapter 10, verse 2. Please, when you leave today, don't just... put this study behind. It concerns you. It concerns your eternal destination. I want you to study it. Take inventory. Romans 10 verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but according not according to knowledge. Remember Brother Branham told the story, actually it's told in the scripture, but Brother Branham used it when he said the running without a message. He talked about how they, even David got up there, he had a little zeal to do something, but he said then Uzziah got up there and he tried to steady the ark and he was slain by God, and
That stopped the whole procession right there. Doing God a service without it being His will. How many people in the world today do God a service without it being His will? Like Brother Vail said, these guys have run for years and years overseas and they've just messed up everything as far as the understanding of the message, what it is. So that's why it's taken so long, because you have to go out. Now there's got to be repentance. There's got to be a change of the mind. There's got to be a complete throwing aside of the traditions. Throwing aside of all these things about third pole and the tent ministry and all this stuff. Throw it aside and say, what is the message? Why did God come? How does it affect me? What is my part in it? All these things that Brother Vail has taught us over the years about paths of faith. Just sitting back and realizing that our part was just to receive Him whom God sent. See? Okay. Let our thinking go. Born of an incorruptible seed, the revealed Word of God, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Being born again out of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. But we find also then that the serpent seed are born of a corruptible seed. What is that? It's the Word for another age. We can go back and show you where Paul said that the men, false brothers came in unawares and they to spy out our liberty, and he said they were Pharisees. He said Pharisees that believed. Oh, come on. Pharisees that believe? In other words, they were organized. They were still in their organization. And they came and they said they believed. Well, Cain was a believer. So I guess we can say the Pharisees that believed. But yet they were still Pharisees. Paul called them their Pharisees. And yet he called them false brethren. Acts chapter 15, Galatians chapter 2. See? Now, but the elect of God will hold only to the vindicated Word of God. We have many scriptures there as well. But the serpent seed will hold to their own word. We find in Psalm chapter 10. In verse 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. How about Isaiah 55? And Isaiah 55, verse 7 through 11. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of the mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things wherewith I sent it. So we see then that their thoughts are not God's thoughts. In fact, we could find in Proverbs, I believe it is 14 and verse 12, Scripture tells us that there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the way thereof is the way of death. So we find then that man is always going to do the things that which he thinks is right. He's going to hold on to the things which he thinks is right, and ends up there 99.999% of the time, they're wrong. There's only one way that's right, and that's God's way. See? Now, so we see then the elect hold to a vindicated word. They don't trust their own thoughts. They don't trust their own ways. They don't trust their own ideas. They hold only to thus saith the Lord, whereas the others, they hold to their own thinking. By tradition, see, they make the word of God of none effect. That's another scripture I didn't put in there, but it's right there in Matthew, I believe it's either 15 or Matthew 7, somewhere in there. Yeah, Matthew 7 and 7. All right, now. The attributes of God, again, his seed. This seed is obedient to the word of God, but the attributes of the serpent seed is since they were children of disobedience, they will be disobedient children. And we find the elect love God because they love God's word, and he is the word. And the serpent seed, they hate God because they hate his word, and God is the word. The elect will love God's presence, and they will abide in it always. Therefore, they preach parousia. That's why in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 1, they're gathered together unto Him. But the non-elect, serpent seed, they cannot live in God's presence. Therefore, they preach apousia. And we find the first showing forth of this is Genesis 4:16, where Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. We find also in the book of Job two different times it speaks of Satan leaving the presence of the Lord. We find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, it says that they will be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord. So, in other words, they will be expelled from the presence of the Lord. It says, in flaming fire He takes vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice they're disobedient, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from, that's away from, the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So they have got to preach apousia. Why? Because they want to justify themselves. You see, our justification isn't what we can say about ourselves. Our justification is what He's already said about you. Their justification is by what they can come up with to excuse themselves. Now, I've never seen a generation like this generation. It's terrible. The children, terrible. The adults, terrible. People can't admit when they're wrong. They've always got to have an excuse. You find that all you got to do is look at any of the sports things or any, you know, a guy falls down. He's got to blame it on the ski manufacturer. Somebody dies of lung cancer, they've got to blame it on the cigarette company. Even though the cigarette company for the last 35 years has had a warning on there, hey, this is going to cause you cancer. This is a cancer stick. Maybe it's just because of dumbed down public schools that can't read the label. But the fact is, the label's been saying for 35 years that you're going to get cancer. You smoke these things, and they smoke them anyway. Then they want to turn around and sue the cigarette maker. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And it's stupid for these kids to want to blame everything. They want to turn around and blame everything on somebody else, some other thing. Take your licks. Be honest. Honesty is a very, very rationed out thing in this day. Starts right with the White House. Got the biggest liar that this nation's ever seen right there in the White House, and he's the example for all the kids. Got to have it your way. Got to have it right now. That's what this electronic frenzy, all this high-tech frenzy. No patience. It affects everybody. We all get affected. I get affected by it. You get affected by it. Because you're constantly bombarded. I say if you want to do an experiment sometime, take a week of vacation. Don't go anyplace. Stay around the house. Shut off the phone so it doesn't ring. Shut off the radios, the boob tubes. But you know what? You're so conditioned right now. Everything's reflexive. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. But you know what? I think some of you, I won't say who, because I don't know. But I'm just saying because the odds are that some of you, in 5 minutes, will go stir crazy if you didn't have on background noise, if you didn't have something going. But I challenge you. I put it up for a challenge. Take a vacation sometime. Or go away someplace that doesn't have a phone. Where you can just sit at the lake, put your toe in, do a little fishing. Just go, you get to the place where you don't have any outside influence. Just lay back and look at the grass grow. Look at the flowers grow. You'll find at first it'll drive you up a wall. Because you're so programmed today, everything's just boom, 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 especially you younger people. Go to a nation like Peru, where you don't have the radios, the televisions, don't even have a fan unless you go out and buy one. And then you find, when you come back to this, I can't hardly stand to listen to the talk shows. I used to get compelled. I used to get caught up into that stuff. I can hardly stomach it anymore. Go away for a week. I'm looking forward to the Philippines for 2 weeks. Low technology. Not looking forward to the suffering I'm going to have to go through. But I'm looking forward to the experience of just getting away from the rat race for a while. We're programmed. We've been pushed until you wonder why you're stressed out. You wonder why people have road rage, and you wonder why people's tempers just fly off the handle. It's getting them ready for the blast. Brother Rand said television and these things is getting them ready for the blast. And what's the blast? It's going to be massive destruction. Man against man, neighbor against neighbor. That's prophesied in the book of Isaiah, I believe it is. In that day, the young people rising up in the neighborhoods. Now, the seed of God are obedient to the word, but the seed of the serpent are disobedient to the word. Seed of God love God because they love the word. And the word is God. The seed of the serpent hate God because they hate his word. The seed of God love God's presence and they abide in it always. David said, I've set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be moved. The seed of the serpent, they hate God's presence. Therefore they preach apousia. The seed of God understands Godhood. The Godhood of God, the deity of God, the relationship of the Father to His Son. But the seed of the serpent will never understand Godhood of God. And you know why? Because they think it's possible for them to become equal with God. Just like Satan did. The seed of God knows the two spirits, how close they'll be, but they won't be deceived. Matthew 24:24. But the seed of the serpent does not understand the two spirits. Therefore,